The Impact of the Organized Blind Movement, Perspectives from a Friend and Champion in the Maryland Legislature by Brooke Learman. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Brooke Learman. From the editor, one of the more moving speeches on the first afternoon came from a friend of the Organized Blind Movement, a newly elected member of the Maryland Legislature, who came to encourage and challenge us in our advocacy and in our building of relationships with elected officials. Here's what she said.
Good afternoon, Federation members. Wow, what a view from up here. You look beautiful. My name is Brooke Learman. I am an attorney at Brown, Goldstein, and Levy. That's right, another attorney. But that is not why President Rick Abono invited me up here today. He invited me up here because last November, I was elected to the Maryland State Legislature. Thank you. So now, not only do I have the honor of being part of the crack legal team that works with the NFB and its members on legal cases, I also have the honor of representing the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in the Maryland House of Delegates. Yes. And I should add, I also have the honor of having President Rick Abono and his family as constituents. So when President Rick Abono asked me to speak today, I said to him, "What would you like me to speak about?" He paused, he thought for a minute, and then he said, "Brooke, I'd like you to speak for about 10 minutes. So I'm going to try to abide by his direction, so I'm invited back. I'm here to do something lawyers do. I'm here to make a case. I'm here to make the case to you for why you need to be involved in politics. Local, state, federal, you choose the level, but you need to be involved. The reason for my argument is this: the blind community needs more champions fighting for it in the state house halls around this country. Yes. So, I am here to make the case to you because although this room is full, it is not full enough. I'm here to make a case to you because I don't want to be the only state legislator who attends NFB conventions. I'm here to make a case to you that we must grow our ranks. We must have champions in every state's legislature. And I'm here to make the case to you to educate legislators so we can create advocates. And then I want to briefly tell you how to do it. So if you remember nothing else today, the two words I hope you remember are educate and advocate. To educate, meaning to give intellectual and social instruction to. To advocate, meaning to support or argue for a cause or policy. Legislators around this country, at the local, state, and federal level, are advocating every day. But are they educated about the issues that you and I care about? Are they advocating for the causes that you and we in this room all champion? I will tell you in a word that by and large, they are not. But you can change that. Why aren't they advocating on the civil rights of blind people, you ask me? Well, let me tell you a little bit about the district I represent. It includes about 117,000 people in Baltimore City. It includes every neighborhood along or near the water in Baltimore. And it is one of, if not the, most racially diverse districts in the state. It also has the largest relative income gap between the highest earner and the lowest earner of any district in Maryland. It includes the Inner Harbor, Camden Yards, the Ravens Stadium, the Ritz-Carlton Residences, and it also includes one of the largest public housing developments east of the Mississippi. I tell you this because one thing I have learned is that I cannot know what every single one of my constituents needs or the challenges that they face on a daily basis. But what I do know is after knocking on 14,000 doors during my campaign, is that they all want the same thing. We all want the same thing. We want a safe, clean, green neighborhood where we can live and raise our children. Good schools to send our children to, good paying jobs, and efficient public transit that we can take to get around. In other words, we want to live the life that we want. Yes. I ran for office so that I could help all neighborhoods and all constituencies, white or black or Latino, rich or poor or middle class, blind or sighted, to achieve these life goals. But to know how to help them, I need to know what obstacles are standing in their way. For that, sometimes I need them to tell me. So when I go to community meetings, and when I knock on doors, and when I attend events, I tell everyone, if you don't educate me, I can't advocate for you. If there is an intersection in your neighborhood you think is dangerous, I can't help you fix it unless you tell me. If there's a principal at the school your child attends who's refusing to provide Braille, I can't help advocate or change laws unless you educate me. And I'm here today to tell you, if you do not educate your elected officials, we cannot be strong advocates for you. Fortunately for the people in my district and for President Rick Abono and the NFB and all of you, I have been learning about the challenges and injustices faced by the blind community for years now through my work at Brown, Goldstein, and Levy. My second day on the job at Brown, Goldstein, and Levy, I spoke with a young man named Chris Toth and his girlfriend, Jamie Principato. Yeah, you know them. Despite having been admitted to Florida State University and paying their tuition just like everyone else, they were being denied access to even the most basic learning tools, a math book and homework problems. Through my work with Chris and Jamie, through my work with blind vendors, some of the most creative entrepreneurs I've ever met, by the way, and through my work with employees at SSA, I have been educated. And because I am educated, I can be an effective advocate. Yes, thank you. Here are two small examples of how, through being educated and understanding issues, I can be a better advocate. First, I sit on the Appropriations Committee. We pass the budget every year in Maryland. And this year, there were very steep budget cuts proposed by our governor, including steep budget cuts that basically would have decimated the budget for the Library for the Blind at the center. John Perret, one of the best advocates I know, told me about this issue. He pointed me to it where it was in the budget. I found our subcommittee chair that deals with that issue, as well as talking to the appropriations chair, and talked to them and explained to them why this funding was so important and needed to be restored. I'm happy to say that it was. Yes. When the sausage making of policy making is being made in the back rooms of state capitals around the country, you need to know that you have leaders in those state capitals watching your back. Here is another example of a way that one single person can make a difference through advocacy. I have a constituent. He contacted me shortly after the election. He's an older gentleman who'd been working at a company for over 20 years, and his father had Parkinson's disease. So he went to the company and he said to them, I'd like to use my flexible leave. Flexible leave is the state equivalent of FMLA. And they said, okay, you can use your flexible leave, but tell us what day you're going to start, because the day before that, we're going to lay you off. Crazy. He said to them, you can't do that. That's against the law. It says in the law, there's no, you can't fire people for asking them for using their leave. And they said to him, that's right. You can't be fired for using their leave, but you can be fired for asking to use your leave. Yeah, can you imagine? What a loophole. A horrible loophole in the law that would have a chilling effect on anybody who wanted to use their flexible leave. So he came to me and he said, we have to fix this. This basically guts Maryland's entire Flexible Leave Act. And I said, you're absolutely right. I would never have known about that loophole in the law if he would not have come forward to tell me about it. I'm happy to report that I introduced a bill to close that loophole, and it successfully passed this year, and now no one has to fear for requesting to use their flexible leave in Maryland. Yes. Unfortunately, not every legislator in the country gets the opportunity to work at Brown, Goldstein, and Levy and learn about the importance of being a champion and ally to the blind community. It's sad but true. We are a pretty small firm, and if you know Dan Goldstein, you know that he winnows out the applicant pool by ensuring we know our tomatillo sauce from our ranchero sauce and our scotch from our bourbon. Thus, it is up to you. It is up to you to educate your legislators to create additional champions around the country. Now that I've explained why it's so important, here are just a couple notes on how to educate your legislator. First, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or a round of claps, but I know that there are people out there in this room who are not registered to vote. I am here to tell you, we know who you are. We legislators, we do not have enough hours in the day to see every single one of our constituents, and we have jobs to keep and elections to win. We winnow too. We talk to voters. We respond to voters. And we can look up online whether someone is registered and how many elections they've voted in. I can go right now onto my iPhone and pull up the Maryland voter rolls and look up any person in Maryland to see if they are registered. So I say to you, take the time to get registered. Take the time to vote. Yes. Second, cultivate a relationship with your legislators. Legislators are people. It's shocking, I know, but we are. We have families. I have a 2.5-year-old son. Most of us have other jobs. We may have one or two part-time staff. Take the time to look up your legislators, learn about them, schedule a meeting with them, keep in touch with them, sign up to receive their campaign email blasts. You may not need anything from them right now. You may not need anything from them this year, but at some point, there is going to be a budget item that you care about. Maybe transit will be cut, or there will be carve-outs being initiated or proposed to the state's Randolph-Shepard Act, or there will be policies around Braille in schools debated. Someday, there will be an issue. And if you show up then for the first time, it's too late. You need to show up now so that when you show up at the time it is most needed, that legislator can count on you to tell them the whole story. Number three, work with your local NFB chapter to organize advocacy days at the state capitol. Introduce yourself to many legislators. And above all, know that not all legislators are created equal. Some may have some knowledge of our issues, some may have none. Meet people where they are. Educate them so that they can advocate for you. Do it for yourself, do it for your kids, do it for your neighbors. You are leaders, you are here, you are already involved. Take the initiative when you get home to find your legislator and start ensuring that all 50 states have champions in their state legislatures. I hope I've made my case to you successfully today. Thank you. If I have, then I conclude with a challenge. I challenge you, between now and the next convention, grow the blind civil rights movement. Create more champions. Touch someone on your left right now. Touch someone on your right. If you each reach out and talk to your local legislator, meet with your local legislator and educate your local legislator, next year, when we come back here, there will be so many state legislators who are champions and advocates that I won't get a chance to take up another 10 minutes of your time. Thank you.
Thank you,
Dr. Bauer. Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you.